Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 7, Text 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Parikshit Uvacha. Evam sambhasya janinim abhivanyasya sadaram vanabhogyekshu alakshya rahim yokto tabidaya. Sri Parikshit said, after speaking this way, Krishna offered his mother proper respects. In the very expert Rohini sensed that Krishna wanted some food to take with him to the forest. Commentary, while in the forest, one generally eats such simple things as rice mixed with yogurt. By observing the way Krishna moved his lotus hands, the other signs of his body language, Rohini, smart and practical, discerned that Krishna was thinking about such forest food. She quickly reasoned that since the artificial Mother Yasoda could not survive Krishna's meal, or even say anything, Krishna might become suspicious if he were to ask food from Yasoda and she failed to respond. To avoid this potential disaster, Rohini moved into action before Krishna could say anything about being hungry. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Dasturan Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Siddhati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. It's been a busy time since I got here with all the classes and people coming. It's now in Vrindavan, at least for some time. I'll be able to have time for myself to do some more writing and just follow my Vrindavan schedule. Of course, I always avail myself to take people around. I'd like to go in this beautiful forest path near the temple where you often meet the real Brijbasis of Vrindavan, and where you can just take people on parikram and just have them close their eyes just to hear the birds and feel the wind as the Mahapurushottam, the mercy of Krishna. The wind in Vrindavan serves Krishna by blowing over the fresh lakes of Vrindavan and carrying droplets of cool water to give a little pleasure to Krishna, a cooling effect in the summer. And in the winter, it goes over the beautiful flower gardens to carry a beautiful fragrance for the pleasure of Krishna. So we just sit in the forest of Vrindavan and feel the air blowing across our faces as the mercy of Krishna. And then we sing Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Sri Govinda, Gopinatha, Madana Mohan, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Divo Vrindavan, Kalindi Jamuna, Jaya, Jaya Mahavan. Keshi Datta Vamsi Vata Dwara Sakhanan Jahasabalila Koila Srinandanam. You can really get a sense that this is the place where Krishna was, and we walked to my friend's farm. I like taking the devotees from the Middle East. They're usually very highly cultured because it's illegal to become a Vaishnava in the Middle East, so people don't even come by preaching. They come by Krishna's mercy, and they're very highly evolved souls. And because their culture is no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, there's a certain purity. And I remember there was one lady that even came. She was just so humble. And she even had the headscarf of a Muslim girl. And actually, Burijan was concerned how she puts it all together because she does namaz five times a day, what the Muslims do, but she chants Hare Krishna. And just to hear the way a person in that culture has appreciation, because they're so oppressed and restricted, and how they say braja, braja, how they like braja, the land of Vrindavan. So I took them to the farm of Prem Kishore just to do some cow savers with the cow save with those big, beautiful cows. And then we took the yogurt and churned it into butter. And then the chach that was left, the buttermilk that was left, we all experienced it as an intoxicating, ambrosial experience. I don't think I've ever had anything so good as we looked out over the forest of Vrindavan. So just simple Vrindavan life now. Chanting, hearing, worshiping the deity, speaking, etc. Now we're back to this Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is a book about bhakti, about devotion. And a book about devotion is a book about Krishna, because Krishna is the object of devotion. You cannot have devotion without an object of devotion. You cannot have devotion without a subject of devotion. Therefore, within the one living, harmonious reality, for the beauty of the universal principle of devotion and love and devotion to exist, there must be a certain distinction. There must be beauty, because devotion means to please. And when you seek to please, you offer the best, and ultimate reality has a sense of beauty also. So we're reading this Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Narada Muni takes up the enthusiastic and noble search for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. The souls whose heart are open the highest to the heart of God, which he reveals to those whom he has a loving relationship with. And really, it has to be our path. We have to be searching for love. We have to be searching for devotion. We have to be searching for a satisfied heart. A satisfied heart is only a heart which is filled with devotion. That's what we are. We're existentially, we're ontologically, we are receptacles of devotion, to offer devotion to the Absolute Reality, which is fair because the Absolute Reality is inclusive of everything. So there's no sectarianism. There's no exclusiveness in devotion to God or Krishna, because real devotion to God or Krishna is universal devotion. So we should search, or we should search for those who are receptacle of God's mercy, which means their hearts are filled with devotion, which is given by God to those who wish to serve Him. That's also our search. And spiritual life, spiritual advancement, is having that desire. We are our desire. And spiritual desire means to have a heart full of love and to be free of anartha. Artha means necessity. Anartha means that which has no necessity, that which has no value to our true being. So we're following Narada's search, and his search has brought him to Dwarka. And in his search, which was to find in this case, in his progressive journey, to find Uddhava, who is the topmost devotee outside of Vrindavan, the discussion leads to Vrindavan, because Uddhava, when he's glorified, he has to be honest that his level of devotion is nothing compared to the gopis. And a discussion of the condition of the residents of Vrindavan ensues. Krishna is already feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan, and that type of discussion brings out his mood of separation, his love for the residents, even further. And in the depth of his separation, he faints, but not just temporarily faints, but goes into a catatonic state. And we're here at the part where Lord Brahma has to interfere when Krishna is just crying and sobbing, and which is also a beautiful thing, because that sobbing in a very intimate way is showing his love. It's revealing the full beauty of his personality, which is his unbounded love for the residents of Vrindavan. But nonetheless, Lord Brahma, hearing the sobbing of the intimate associates, which causes the sobbing of all the residents of Dwarka, they're so much affected by Krishna's emotion and his condition, that Lord Brahma comes and devises this plan to revive Krishna by taking him to the playground, I wouldn't call it Disney World, but Disney World's a perverted reflection of this Nava Vrindavan, where they create a replica of Vrindavan. They create this replica of Vrindavan, and they hope that being in this replica of Vrindavan, Krishna will think he's in Vrindavan. And by thinking he's in Vrindavan, his separation will subside, and he'll come back to a functional condition. So he's carried there, and we're in this. I should mention one thing, because I've really been meditating on this lately, that this conception of what ultimate reality is, what the spiritual realm is, it's a place where pure love is intensified to its highest degree. And it's intensified to its highest degree by different situations and circumstances arranged by Krishna's potency to facilitate love through divine drama, which is called the Lila Shakti, the potency which creates circumstances where Krishna can play, and circumstances where the sentiments of God and his devotees can rise to the highest degree, and to create different emotional experiences called bhavas. Even though I'm secluded here in the evening, you'll have to excuse me for 1 second. I think someone's here for me. 1 second.
The key is on top of the ledge, okay?
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah. Above the door downstairs. Just raise your hand above the door, okay?
Hi, Bill. I have a guest staying downstairs. He just came. I'm trying to. Let me get back and see if I can. So, if you look at it in that way, you can see the reality of it. Which is an intensified devotion, which is pleasure, because what pleasure is love. The more love coming from one's heart, the more happiness one feels. So, if you look at the Leela, you look at the stories of Krishna from that standpoint, and then you understand a little bit about the science, you'll understand how the emotional experiences, and there's a variety of emotional experiences, appropriate emotional experiences, to take a particular relationship with Krishna and bring the sentiments of the participant to the highest degree. This morning, every day in Vrindavan, now I do it at 4 o'clock. I've been doing this for like 15 years. Many of you attended my classes. I just go downstairs to that little hall downstairs, and I begin to speak. I decided when I'm in Vrindavan, I'll do Krishna Lila. And you really get into the different verses, and it's very, very beautiful when you see the scenes. It's Kaliya Lila. You can really, really feel the devotion. You know, Krishna is in the coils of this serpent, and he's limp, motionless, because everything moves for Brahman's pleasure, when there is apparent danger to Krishna, there are inauspicious omens. So even though Krishna's in the forest, the residents of Vrindavan, they see these omens, meteors falling from the sky and the ground shaking, and they have the natural response, oh my God, Krishna is dead. And then whatever affection they have for Krishna just heightens. And then they began to search for Krishna as a cow lamenting for a helpless calf. And they, in that intense devotion of the various types of affection for Krishna, whether it is parental love, conjugal love, friendship, it's just heightening. And then when they finally make their way, following the pressure, revered and worship footprints of in the soft sands of Vrindavan, that the residents respect, so they can find Krishna by following his footprints. When they break out of the forest to the shores of the Kaliya River, the Jamuna River where Kali is staying, and when they look on the shores of the river, it actually formed like a lake where three sides were available. They saw all the animals in Vrindavan. How much do the cows love Krishna? They're just crying on the shore. There's so much emotion. And it's a very beautiful pastime, because it's one of the pastimes where all varieties of love are there in the same place, heightened to the maximum degree. So how much pleasure is that? And beautiful. And the scene, you know, so we have kirtan, we immerse ourselves in kirtan, and we have a sense of what love for God expressed in association of those who have love for God. What type of emotional sense of joy in the heart that is. But the kirtan there is very unique, because Mother Yasoda, out of incredible love, begins to run towards the shore to save her son, because that's love. Love means that the life and desires of another you value more than the desires and life of yourself. I was talking this morning or this afternoon that we see in history people who love God out of the desire and pleasure of God can sacrifice their own life. How much faith, how much experience must there be in those people's hearts? And I'm not talking about fanatics. People can always do crazy things for the wrong reason. I'm talking to people like my uncle, who was a chaplain in World War II on a battleship, USS Dorchester, with four other chaplains, who, when the ship was sunk by the U-2 submarines, and the ship was going down, and my uncle and the three other chaplains, as their duty for God, got everyone on the boats that they could, even gave up their own protective gears to others, even lying to others and saying, no, I have another set, confident young men, and putting them on the boat, and then when the boat sinks, people who were living saw my uncle and the three other chaplains on singing the Psalms of David. So even we have some sense in this world of a real sense of love to the extent that the desires and life of God and others becomes greater than one's own. That's really a principle of doing kirtan, really. You have to live your life. You have to think of others before yourself. It's a selfish heart. Cannot stand with your feeling. If you think of really someone who really can do kirtan, it has to be a loving person. To really because actually the holy name is not just syllables, it's actually the scent of Krishna. It's something that comes, and therefore really deep experienced chanters. I had one friend, he was sharing me his experience. He wanted religious experience. He grew up in a Catholic background. And he was just tired of his devotional life. He wanted a religious experience. So he went to the Himalayas, and he decided that he would eat very simply. He would take a vow of nirjan. He wouldn't be with any people. And he would chant 64 rounds sitting in one place before he would get up, with a cloth covered over his head, begging for God's mercy. And he did that for 7 days. And there came a time in his chanting that the holy name was coming out of his mouth faster than he could chant. And then it became so sweet. It became so sweet that he began to pray for many, many tongues. And he began to pray for many, many years. And when he did that, he realized, because this was the verse by Rupa Goswami, Tande Tandavani Litim. I can't imagine how much nectar is in these two names, Krishna. When they come on my tongue, I wish for many tongues. When they come in my ears, I wish for many ears. And when they enter into the courtyard of my heart, my senses become inert. You can't imagine. You go, oh my God, I'm having an experience. I'm experiencing the holy name. But the point here is, I was describing Mother Yasoda. It's real love. She's ready to go into the water, to sacrifice her own life. But her gopi friends who love Krishna as much as she does hold her back, and they begin to chant Vraja Priya Katha. Katha means recounting the stories of Vraja Priya, the darling of Vraja, Vraja Priya Katha. They begin singing about how Krishna was saved from great demons like Putin, and that Mother Yasoda shouldn't worry. But they're standing there like corpses with their eyes absorbed and fixed on Krishna. That's yoga. Yoga is to fix your mind on one thing. Their mind is fixed on God in spontaneous love. It's a very, very... And that's why when Lord Chaitanya's guru said, I will now give you a verse that's the essence of the Bhagavatam, he quoted this verse, Ishvara Puri Guru quoted this verse, Evam Vatapriya Sanamakrita Jitanaravya. When you chant without any inhibition, when you chant without any attachment, and you chant with a sense of loving relationship to your beloved Lord, Jitanuraga, from that is born devotion. And when that devotion is born in your heart, you laugh, you cry, and you have no cognizance of anything else. That's samadhi. That's the highest level of absorption. The highest level of absorption is that when the absorption becomes so deep, there's no cognizance of anything else. And that verse is the essence of the Bhagavatam, because that's the method and goal of the Krishna conscious philosophy, is to actually come to that point of absorption by awakening intense devotion within one's heart. So the residents of Vrindavan, they're in that state. And in that state of fixed on Krishna out of prema, out of love, that's the definition of prema. There's nothing else in the consciousness, nothing else. It's sandra. It's like steel. In steel, you cannot put a pin through. You can't put any thought through that consciousness of full absorption in love. And that love is the pleasure potency of the divine absolute reality, which gives happiness and pleasure both the divine and those who carry that potency within his heart. So it's such a beautiful scene, and they're all focused at once and pouring out their hearts to Krishna. At the same time, you're hearing these kirtans of Vraja Priya Katha recounting the pastimes and Leela of Krishna. So this is a very sweet, reasonable conception of the absolute reality, that love is flowing to the absolute reality, the highest resting place, the most inclusive resting place, the most universal resting place, and it's flowing at the highest intensity. Part of the process of Krishna consciousness, which is very beautiful, is to listen to expressions of these love, this love, in both poetry and drama. And with appreciation, it's quoting, someone gave me the verse from Voltaire, that which you appreciate belongs to you. In appreciation. Just one other scene that was beautiful. I would go to some of the classes and the Govardhan retreat with Borijan and Sachinandana. And the last day, when they set up this stage, with the backdrop is the forest and then Govardhan Hill. The backdrop is spectacular. It's the forest of Govardhan with the Govardhan Hill. And, you know, the stage is just this, it's a stage with flowers. And then they had the most famous and pure and humble and simple kirtan singers in all of Braj, from Barsana, the birthplace of Radharani. Oh, my God. Wow. And again, devotion. I was reading this in the Krishna Leela, after Krishna gets out of the serpent, then there's music. There's the most incredible percussions, singing, there's prayers, and flowers are showered. It's a divine festival. Now, here's another divine festival in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, a story of Krishna in Dwarka, and now they brought him to this new Vrindavan, and they're trying to revive him, and they put on his cowherd boy costume, and Balaram finally shakes Krishna and wakes him up, and then we're at the point where Krishna is still in this half consciousness. And then he begins, they're trying to convince him that he's late for waking up the cows, taking out the cows, and he feels horrible. It's already midday, the cows should have gone out in the morning. And then he sees all these statues of Krishna that are of Vrindavan, the flowers, and Vrindavan needs the cows. Vrindavan means the cows. Vrindavan means the birds. Vrindavan means the flowers. Vrindavan means the Vrindavan means the trees. So it's a replica, and Krishna begins to relate, and then they make excuses. You know, Radharani must be in anger if she's not responding. Mother Yasoda must be in distress if she's not responding. And then Krishna feels, well, the reason I woke up is I had this dream about Dwarka, about his life there. No, but Krishna actually went to Dwarka. Now he's thinking, well, okay, that's why I woke up, but it was so real, it was such a long dream. So now it's actually work. And then Krishna offered his mother respect. And Rohini sensed that he did want to take some food to the forest, and she makes some rice and yogurt, and you know, I sense how modern civilization is covering God consciousness. Prabhupada would quote the British poet Kopa that the city is made by man, the country is made by God. But even now, the country is polluted. But sometimes when you actually taste the real fruit, when I go to that Pranti Shura Goswami and he milks these cows that he feeds and loves personally, and it's churned into butter, and we eat the butter, and then we have the buttermilk, you can understand how one can become God conscious by experiencing his vibhutis or potencies. Even says, I am the taste of water. When water is pure, it's a very, very sweet taste. Prabhupada said, even a drunk, if he can just meditate that the taste of even the wine that they're drinking is actually a potency of God. Anyway, as usual, I speak a long time, but let's just hear this lila and try to relish it. There's two ways to approach the shastra. One is for instruction or understanding. That means we're being instructed on things because we don't realize them. The shastra instructs us to surrender to God with full faith and experience divine love. But when one firmly understands that, he reads the shastra in another way. He reads it to relish his relationship with Krishna. So the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is both, but this part is really to somehow or other try to relish the devotion that's expressed, because the unique aspect of bhakti shastra is that it's composed of rasa. Because the people writing it have love to the highest degree, and the people they're writing about have love to the highest degree. So everything is an expression of that love, and we try to become sensitive to it and experience it. And even if we're not qualified, something sticks. There's a story. Actually, it was told to me by Narayamaj about 20 years ago, when there were cordial relationships, and sometimes I would visit him. And, you know, he told the story how you have to appropriately hear Krishna Katha, just like we're hearing Krishna Katha. And even if we're not fully qualified, if it's presented in the right way, it'll have an effect. And then he described there was this person in the Gaudiya Math, the temple of Bhakti Siddhanta, called Narahari. And he was known as the Florence Nightingale of the Gaudiya Math. He was just so kind and humble. And he would take care of everyone who got sick. And he was just a wonderful person. And then one day he got this stomach virus and it wouldn't end. And it was constant diarrhea. So they thought he would die. And they finally took him to the country to this famous Ayurvedic doctor. And this Ayurvedic doctor gave him this ghee, this pure ghee to drink, a medicinal ghee. And they said to him, well, how, when someone has a stomach problem and everything is passing through him, how will he what good will this ghee be? And the doctor said, don't worry, something will stick. And sure enough, after a week, somehow his stomach was coated and he was saved. So that's kind of the idea that we should hear about Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada even gave the Krishna book first, which is the 10th canto. At the very beginning, he wanted his disciple. And he said, if you read this every day, you'll be happy. And if you, if I followed his example, and I did, I would be. Because something would stick. And what would stick? That sense of rasa or devotion. Text 35. Sri Rohini said, dear child, your mother has no other son but you. She was so worried today by your extra sleeping that now she feels a bit ill. So I think we have talked enough. So he's covering. She's covering. That's why Mother Yasoda. The cows and the boys tending them have already gone ahead. You should quickly follow them. I will prepare some nice refreshments for you and send them to you in the fall. So what is Vrindavan? In the morning, the residents of Vrindavan, their young children, their sons, are going to go out with Krishna to tend the cows because that's his occupation. So they have to cook in the morning, and they begin to cook, but they know that whatever they cook for their sons will be shared with Krishna in a picnic because as good friends, they eat off of each other's plate. So they cook in the morning for Krishna, but as they're cooking, they're doing kirtan. Because kirtan is the natural expression of devotion. Kirtan takes the devotion in your heart and amplifies the devotion in your heart. And by amplifying the devotion in your heart, by expressing the devotion in your heart, it increases the devotion in your heart. Krishna consciousness means, really, is Radhanuga Bhakti. It's bhakti following the rag or the deep devotion of those who have perfected that devotion. The activities of the saint, the ragatmikas, the high souls in Krishna Lila, the perfected soul, who their souls are drenched. It's like a cloth in dye becomes red. Their minds absorbed in love of Krishna becomes love of Krishna. So out of love of Krishna, they sing. They sing Krishna's glories. I said many, many times, Jiva Goswami says that your level of bhakti or devotion is exactly commensurate with your attraction for hearing and chanting about Krishna. To the residents of Vrindavan in the morning, when they're cooking for Krishna, they're singing from the heart. How much pleasure is that? They're cooking knowing they're for Krishna. And it's so much joy. They have so much love and devotion for Krishna. And from their hearts comes the glory of Krishna. Yasamati nandana braja bara nagara gokula ranjana kara na. Gopi parana dana madana manahara. Kaliya dhamma dabidana. Amala harina mamiya bilasa. And our chanting is a practice to attain that love. Sri Parikshit said, Krishna offered his respects to Rohini, who had spoken to him with so much love. Su Snigdham. Snigdham means affectionate. Su means very affectionate. Then with a smile on his face, like a thief, he stealthily took from Mother Yasoda's hand the butter she was holding. You have to get fresh butter to understand why Krishna is a butter thief. I'm just saying, when that yogurt is churned and it turns golden, and you watch the butter emerge, you take that butter, you'll understand. He then left to join his older brother, calling out his name. Generous Krishna did not eat this butter before reaching the cows. Commentary, it seems from Krishna's cooperative response that he trusted Rohini's words as much as Mother Yasoda. He told Rohini, I bow down to your feet and offer obeisances. Vishvakarma knew that Krishna loves fresh butter and that Mother Yasoda therefore often has some in her hand ready to give him. Vishvakarma had fashioned his image of Yasoda accordingly. When Krishna was occupied with Rohini and Yasoda, Balaram, thinking that Krishna was back to normal, had already gone ahead. He also had a confidential reason for leaving Krishna behind, namely to leave Krishna free to meet alone with the gopis. So, in expertly pleasing words, Krishna had asked his two mothers to make lunch for him. Then he had set off, and on the way he met some of the gopis and joined some joking talk. As he continued walking, playing his flute to keep the cows from wandering off, he then came upon Sri Radhika with her girlfriends and spoke with her with witty comments and charming smiles. Sri Nandanandana said, O mistress of my soul, why don't you speak to me, your devotee, whom you now have met in a secret place? What are you so busy with, my proud lady? How did I offend you, O omniscient one? You must know everything that happened in my dream. So he's thinking that Radharani somehow must know his mind and must know his dream, which was actually his life in Dwarka, and therefore she's angry because he's married to 16,108 wives. I left you and went elsewhere in that distant place. I married many princesses who had been preparing to end their lives, and I fathered sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. Anyway, right now I have to go to the forest. Tonight at dusk, over store of satisfaction you will enjoy with me. Sri Parikshit continued. Having said this, Krishna threw a handful of flowers at Sri Radha, looked all around and embraced her and kissed her. He then went ahead to meet the cows and the cowherd boys. As Devaki saw for the first time how wonderfully and all attractively Krishna was dressed for Vraja, and how he was playing his flute, milk started flowing from her breast in great love, even though she was no longer young. Rukmini, Jambati, and the other queens, bewildered by an intensity of love they never felt before, lost their consciousness, fainted, and fell to the ground. So what happens is Krishna is thinking he's in Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, he's just a cowherd boy. He's not a king. There's no distance between him and others. I mentioned this point many, many times, and it's essential to understand the Krishna theology, that when you're in a superior position to someone, what to speak of king or god, then to satisfy those people's sense of servitude and reverence, one has to hide the more intimate parts of his personality. Therefore, God is not the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is. Krishna is God, but he's not in the position of majesty. When you are superior, majestic, and people respect you, and their relationship with you is reverential, then your intimate side is hidden. And therefore, part of your beauty is not manifest. So even the queens of Dwarka, who were with Krishna as the queens of the king, had a degree of reverence in their relationship that created a slight formality in Krishna's response that hid or covered some part of his inner beauty, which is now coming out. He thinks he's in Vrindavan with the cows, with Sri Radhika, with the cowherd boys and the Brajabasis and the residents of Vrindavan and the Jamuna River. And therefore, Rohini and Devaki, his mother, and his queens, who are hiding behind the trees so that they don't spoil the plan of Lord Brahma to trick Krishna that he's in Vrindavan. And certainly if he saw the queen, oh, I'm in Dwarka, this is not Vrindavan. So they're hiding, but they're seeing a part of their husband, a beauty of their that they've never seen before, which comes out in relationship to Sri Radhika and the residents of Vrindavan. They're seeing the topmost recipients of Krishna's mercy, which Narada was searching for. This is the topmost recipients of Krishna's mercy, those who have a natural, intimate love in Vrindavan, who bring Krishna close and intimate, so he does not have to maintain any superiority. And therefore, can drop his guard and reveal himself. And when they're seeing this, even Devaki is now an old lady, the beauty of her son in this intimate manifestation of Krishna is causing milk to flow from her breast. And Jambavati and Rukmini and all the queens are overcome with love, because they're seeing a beauty that they never saw even in their intimate marriage with Krishna. So this is Purna. This chapter is called Purna. This is the complete perfection. The complete perfection is Brajabhakti, the love of the residents of Vrindavan, which inspires Krishna to be one of them, with no air of superiority, with nothing to hide. So, by God's grace, we still have another 100 pages, as we'll see Krishna in this point. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Yeah, hi, Krishna.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's more a comment than a question, but I just find it
comment, yeah.
Yes, I find it so interesting or strange that a devotee like the Queens of Dwarka, or anybody that's in more of a reverential relationship with Krishna, could have so much appreciation for that more intimate side of Krishna, yet because of their natural relationship with Krishna, they would still prefer their own relationship, which keeps Krishna more at a distance. You know, they appreciated Krishna so much that they fainted when they saw his more intimate dealings, yet because it's not their natural relationship, they would still prefer to stay
Certainly, yeah, let's get started this way. Certainly, Mother Yasoda doesn't want to become the lover. Devaki doesn't want to become the lover. Right? So that you have no difficulty understanding. At least you can understand that principle.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly Devaki doesn't want, you know, that why should the mother why can't the mother appreciate that an intimate side, but at the same time not want that relationship? That's kind of natural.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's more a little bit more understanding with the queens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because it's the same.
And maybe with the queens, maybe they would even in one sense, they would want that in one sense, but don't have it in another sense. But in the other sense, they don't want that because they're queens. That's who they are. But certainly, they at least initially, and it just shows also, it's going to be talking about that, how free they are from envy. Right? Because they're not envious of it at all. They're just appreciating it just so much. Yeah. Okay? And this is the first time I've seen any, this in the Spriya Bhagavatamrita, it's the first time I've seen anything like this. You know, where there's an interchange. I mean, it's a unique circumstance that they're actually seeing. Excuse me. That they're actually seeing that. You know. But we know that the goddess of fortune wanted to be a gopi. We know even that Bhishma, it's all over the Bhagavatam that other people, they can appreciate the higher relationships without actually wanting it. Okay. Anybody else like to ask anything? Or just say hello, that would be nice. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna? Who's that? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Henry, I vote. You seen Alex? Is he back yet?
He should be back, but unfortunately I haven't seen or heard from him. I hope to soon.
Okay. Yeah, I think you will. It's been a long trip for him. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhaktivinoda.
Govardhan Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna. Thank you. that I appreciate so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Boma, Shastra Das.
See you soon, Shastra.
Yes.
Anybody else like to say hello? Hi, Boma, Indrani. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very good. A few more friendly voices?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hanan and Surit are here. Thank you for your class.
Thank you. Thank you for always listening. That's great. Anybody else like to say hello? Give me a variety
Hare
of
Krishna Maharaj.
Vision of Nanda, do well.
Yeah. It was a nice class, Maharaj.
Anyway, by Prabhupada's grace. Anybody else? Okay, we can end now. All right.